Such a delight and a joy to have Annie and John here. They are so precious to the two of us particularly and to us here now. You made such an impact on us last time you were here that we had to invite you back again. And we're just blessed that you're here. They're off on holiday tomorrow to recover from today. But John, why don't you come up and let's stretch out a hand towards John. Okay, should we pray for John together? Lord, thank you so much for Annie and John. Thank you for all that they mean to so many of us in this place, as they have done over the years, as they've ministered in so many different places and blessed so many of us in different ways and at different times and different seasons. But we thank you for the gift of this moment. We thank you that they're here today on Pentecost Sunday. We pray your blessing over John as he brings your word to us, that he would speak your words to us, your life to us, and carry your favour for us. And refresh him, Lord. Your word tells us that those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. As he gives that, Lord, we pray that you'd give back to him. In Jesus' name.
It's lovely to be here. And I love this Feast of Pentecost. I encountered the Holy Spirit in an all-night prayer meeting in Gillingham in 1962, 6th of February, 1962. And it's been a journey of discovery. I just want to read a few verses from Acts chapter 2. And Jesus had told the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. And then Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared upon them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And each of them, or all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And just moving on a bit, where Peter speaks to the people to explain what God has been doing. And he mentions the prophet Joel, who said God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh, not just on Jews, but on Gentiles, on all flesh. And then he preaches this wonderful sermon. And this is coming towards the end. He says, this Jesus God raised up, and all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this upon you, which you now see and hear. And then the crowd asked, what must we do? They were cut to the heart by his message. What must we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, into the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your sins will be forgiven. And this is the lovely thing. For the promise is to you, to those he was speaking to your children. God intends that your children will be beneficiaries of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to all who are far off. And that perhaps is us, because it's a long time since the Spirit was poured out, and to everyone whom the Lord our God calls. And out of that message, 3,000 believed on Jesus. That was absolutely wonderful. Now, I want just to start with a question that a famous rabbi, Rabbi Mendel of Koch in Poland, asked his disciples a question. And he said, where is God? Where is God? And the disciples were slightly bemused by this. And they said, is it not written that God fills the heavens and the earth? God is surely everywhere. No, replied the rabbi, God is where we let him in. God is where we let him in. I think that's such a wonderful sentence. And Pentecost happened to the disciples for two reasons. Firstly, that God sent his Holy Spirit as he had promised. In Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus says, "See, I'm sending you what my Father has promised, and stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And secondly, the disciples waited for that promise. They let it happen. Suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You know, it didn't just fill the people, it filled the house. I bet you there was a shaking in that house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Pentecost has a dual meaning. It literally means 50. It was 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. And secondly, it was the Feast of Weeks, and it was a great ingathering where the Spirit of God came on the apostles and disciples, transforming their lives and giving birth to the church, which we're a part. And there are two things that the Holy Spirit did in the life of the church. And firstly, the Spirit turned the church inside out. The Spirit turned the church inside out, that they were actually closed in on themselves. But when the Spirit came, the Spirit drove them out into the world that needed to hear the message of the gospel. They had been huddled together for fear of the Jews. They were previously jockeying for position and for status. And Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And they were together in that upper room for 10 days, waiting for what was promised. They'd been humbled by their failure, but they had met the mercy and grace of Jesus and of God. And he entrusted this amazing task to take the gospel which he had emblazoned on their hearts to the world that needed to hear it. And Luke uses a wonderful word in the Acts 2, where he uses the word suddenly. Suddenly, God breaks in. Suddenly from heaven came the sound of a violent wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now that word, ruach, speaks of breath, speaks of wind, speaks of fire. And they knew an amazing happening that took place, that on each one of them a tongue of fire rested. And there are echoes here of Genesis 2, where the writer says this: "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And here, just before Jesus goes to the Father, in John 20, 21, Jesus appears to the disciples, do you remember, in that upper room, and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And then he did this strange thing. He breathed into them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And this is not a return to the past, but it is an anticipation of the future. The breath of the resurrected one, of Jesus, is being breathed into them by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings the life of God to us. And I think of the image of resuscitation. You know, when sometimes a person has had a heart attack or something of that kind and has stopped breathing, a person kneels beside them and breathes into their mouth their breath to give breath to the one without breath. And this is what Jesus did at Pentecost, what the Spirit did. He is giving the life-giving breath of God to the church. And what follows is really extraordinary, because the Spirit comes and new life flows out of them. They're driven out from locked doors. They're driven out of fear. They're driven out of waiting. They're stepping into the action that they are to take the gospel of Jesus to the world. And this same Spirit that drove Jesus out at his baptism, when the Spirit of God came on him like a dove, and he heard the words of the Father, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And he's driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness, and there he encounters the devil and the temptations, and he succeeds where Adam failed. And it says in Luke that he came back, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit and started his ministry. How does the church know that it is filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, when it is turned inside out to give itself away for a broken world. And what we see in this message of Peter is that the first fruits of the harvest of the Feast of Weeks is being gathered in. And the effect of the Spirit on the church is always to gather in new people, new converts. So firstly, we know that Spirit is in the church when it is being turned outside in. But we also know it when the Spirit turned the church, no, inside out. We also know it when the Spirit turned the church outside in. And the crowds who heard the amazing things that they saw happening, the different languages, where each of them heard in their own tongue the wonderful works of God. And the crowd are asking for an answer. And this is a hinge moment in the church's life, where Peter, with great boldness, stands up and begins to preach and explain that these men are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. But this is what the Joel, the prophet, said. Let me read these words. That in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And upon slaves, men and women, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. What I love about this is that the Spirit is coming on all generations. All of us get to play. And I just feel very much for Faith, who's become the new children's worker here, that actually the Spirit of God wants to come on these children and empower them and fill them with the love of God, so that they cannot but speak of the things that they know, that they've seen and heard. So pray for an outpour of the Spirit of God on the children that will reach into the schools. I believe God wants to really do that, because that's the purpose of Pentecost. That's the purpose for us. And then he focuses on Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to by wonders and signs that he did in your presence. But you handed him over to be crucified. You crucified and killed the Jesus of Nazareth. But God has the last word, raised him up from death and it's impossible for him to be held by his power. You know, we have a message that actually death is not the end. Death has been triumphed over. We should not be afraid of death because it is a conquered enemy. And this Jesus is the source of it. This Jesus God raised up, and that we are all witnesses. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know that God has made him both Lord and Christ. Jesus, whom you crucified. What a transformation of Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times because he was afraid of what might the consequences be. And here he's speaking with such courage and boldness, so much so that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What should we do?" And here is the church welcoming outsiders in. There's this twofold movement, inside out and outside in. A massive harvest was gathered on that day. And the question they asked, what must we do? And Peter spoke three words, repentance, the word metanoia, which is an about turn. And actually true repentance comes out of our hearts or of conviction, of being cut to the heart. Repentance. Repentance leads to life. And then secondly, be baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, into the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins might be forgiven. There are two verbs that are used about our relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. The verb pisteuo, to believe on, to put your trust in, is always used of our relationship to Jesus. The word lambano, to receive, is always used of our relationship to the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not if you're good enough, not if it, none of us do, but the breath of God comes to transform us from the inside out. The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls. All of us are receiving or can receive this wonderful promise. I mentioned that in 1962, I was banking, and I went to this all-night prayer meeting. It was the first one I'd ever heard of. And we prayed some nice prayers till about 2 when we had a cup of tea. And then when we got back, someone confessed adultery. And the meeting took on a new turn. There was a time of real repentance, asking God's mercy and forgiveness. And there was a pastor, a Nazarene pastor, none of us knew him, but he was in Gillingham. And he was sent by God to tell us what we should do. And he said to us, you know, you need now to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And we started, and he used that wonderful passage in Luke 11:13. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And Jesus says also in that wonderful passage, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's all we have to do, to ask, to ask. Do you remember Jesus said, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. I've just been reading a little bit about D.L. Moody, that wonderful American evangelist, and he was a great preacher. But there were two old ladies in his congregation. One was called Auntie Cook, and the other was called Mrs. Snow. And they said, "We're praying for you. We're praying for you that you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you will receive power from on high." Now, D.L. Moody was nettled and irritated by them, but they kept saying, "We are praying for you." And anyway, their church was burnt down, and he went to New York to try and raise money. But he started to cry out to God, "Lord, I need power. I need power." And he said that he was in his room on the floor asking God to fill him. And he said the love of God hit him and filled his soul, so much so that he said, "I asked God to stay his hand. I thought I would lose my life." And anyway, he went back to church to preach. And whereas the sermons were not different at all, hundreds were converted through his preaching. He received power from on high. And one of the things that he did, which challenged me so much, he made a desire with God, a kind of covenant, that "I want to speak every day. I want to speak to one person about who you are." And I remember one of the stories was that it was almost at midnight and he realized he hadn't spoken to anyone. And he went out and it was raining, and by the lamp there was a man standing there. And he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And the man was very angry with him. And anywhere, some weeks later, the man came to his church and said, "I want to find Jesus." And actually, he then was enlisted for war, and he died on the battlefield. But I felt, I want to have power and boldness to witness to Jesus, who I love, and not to keep it hidden. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit has been given for. I was in Silkeborg in Denmark many years ago. I went with a great friend, Michael Mitten. And in Silkeborg, in Denmark, they have these massive town squares. And when we went into the town, the thing was filled up with something like over 1,000 Harley-Davidson motorbikes. It was amazing. And they have a national rally every 7 years. And I remember looking at these Harley-Davidsons, and then they decided to go. And when they went, I think you've got a picture there, a beautiful machinery. But when they went, when they kick-started the thing, the roar in the town square was deafening. And I just felt, actually, as I looked at those Harley-Davidsons, that that was an image of Pentecost. It's a beautiful piece of machinery. But without petrol in the tank, switching on the engine, it's a showpiece. And I felt God say to me, "This is what the church is like. It might be a beautiful organization, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just a showcase. It has no power to change lives." And I felt that actually God was saying something. And I shared that on that Pentecost Sunday morning. And I love these words of Bishop Michael Marshall, an Anglo-Catholic, but a wonderful man of the Spirit. And he said, "It is of ordinary men and women that God re-enters the world of time and space, or bricks and mortar, but always through the door of the human heart, willingly reopened to God. God is where we let him in. God is where we let him in." And I want to encourage us to ask the Holy Spirit to come afresh, the breath of God, that God will breathe into our nostrils his fresh breath. And I was just thinking about this as in a moment or so, stand and to ask the Holy Spirit to come. You know, do you try to breathe? Do you try to breathe? Do you struggle to breathe? No, it's natural, because God has given us breath. And we don't have to try to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, a little child receives a gift or receives an ice cream and just says thank you and enjoys it. And it's as simple as that. God wants to breathe into us afresh the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be his witness in the world that he's placed us in to bring about change and transformation. So let's perhaps stand and just be those who welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, we know that as we come to receive, we're doing so on the basis of your word and your promise. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened to you. And then he uses an illustration of us being evil, know how to give a fish to our children, or an egg, not a scorpion. And then if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And so just open your hands, just as you breathe the breath that gives you continuing life. Just breathe in the Holy Spirit. Father, come, Holy Spirit. Come upon your children here in a fresh way. Come, fill them with your love. Just come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you.